I'm delighted to welcome a new supporting sponsor to the local government news roundup family. It's Ventia, a leading essential infrastructure services provider, redefining service excellence for communities across Australia and New Zealand. Ventia is operating at over 400 sites and with a large and diverse workforce of over 35,000. They specialise in the long-term operation, maintenance and management of critical public and private assets and infrastructure across a broad range of industry segments, including defence and social infrastructure, infrastructure services, telecommunications and transport. For local government, Ventia specialises in the end-to-end delivery of open space management, soft and hard facilities management, street cleansing, minor capital works and much more. Ventia brings capability in whole-of-life asset management and robust use of data for better decision-making for their clients. Ventia, making infrastructure work sustainably for our communities. Head to ventia.com to find out more. Coming up in this edition of the Local Government News Roundup, an after-hours service provider to local councils hit by a cyber attack. A controversial apartment tower gets the green light in Frankston, a 24-hour cat curfew back on the agenda for Greater Geelong Council, disendorsement concerns for as many as 20 Labor councillors in New South Wales, councils and the New South Wales government at odds over funding for water pollution testing, Noosa Shire considering a congestion tax for tourists, and the US Council considering an innovative pay-to-foster scheme to reduce overcrowding in animal shelters. Hello, I'm Chris Eddy, back with some more of the stories about councils across Australia and beyond making news these past few days. It's Monday, the 22nd of April. The podcast is brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association, the national broadcaster on all things local government, with support from Davidson, the nationally recognised local government recruitment and business advisory service. Councils around the country are potentially caught up in a cybersecurity incident targeting Oracle CMS, which provides after-hours customer service support to many councils across Victoria and Australia. Darebin City Council said on the weekend that it has suspended its service with the third-party supplier due to the incident. An unauthorised third party accessed and published a portion of Oracle CMS's data online, primarily consisting of corporate details. Darebin said its systems were not compromised and any potentially accessed customer data is expected to be basic contact information. The council is working with the supplier to understand the impact further and will contact customers directly if their data has been accessed. Reporting on the issue by cyberdaily.au suggests information from over a dozen councils around the country may have been exposed, including the City of Sydney, Tweed Shire and Campbelltown, Greater Dandenong, Playford, Kwinana and Moreton Bay. The City of Sydney has confirmed it is working with Oracle CMS to investigate the incident. VCAT has approved a controversial 14-storey apartment tower in Frankston, despite strong opposition from residents and community activists. The Age reported that the tower, part of the suburb's so-called Great Wall of high-rise development, will have 94 apartments and a ground-level cafe, while critics argue the development is an unacceptable departure from historical council plans and will dominate the skyline. Supporters like Frankston Mayor Nathan Conroy believe the development will bring much-needed housing diversity and boost local businesses. Geelong Council is set to vote on a recommendation that would require cat owners to confine their pets to their property 24 hours a day. The issue will come before the council meeting on Tuesday after being deferred pending the receipt of further information from a meeting in February. The Geelong Advertiser reports that the proposal, which has received mixed reactions, aims to reduce the impact of cats on neighbours, pets and the environment. A survey showed 62% of respondents supporting the introduction of a 24-hour curfew, citing issues with wandering cats in their neighbourhoods. However, concerns remain about the enforcement and cost of implementing the change. ABC News has reported on a trial by Hume Council in Melbourne's north, which has seen proactive patrols helping residents dispose of unwanted items and clean up dumped rubbish. The council's waste response team educates residents on alternative ways of disposing of unwanted items, resulting in a significant decrease in illegally dumped rubbish. The council is calling on the state government to reduce the waste levy, arguing that the increased fees are leading to more illegal dumping. The trial has been described as a profound success, saving the council $440,000 in clean-up fees in the first 5 months. The Victorian Government has announced the provision of immediate support to the city of Ballarat to implement initiatives to prevent violence against women in response to the loss of three local women due to alleged male violence. A $250,000 investment will fund initiatives as part of the Free From Violence Local Government program, including an awareness campaign, engagement with local businesses and community groups, and a family and gendered violence prevention strategy. Former Victorian MP Andrew Elsbury has announced his independent candidacy for the Wyndham Council, emphasising the importance of community advocacy. Elsbury is a former Liberal Party member and believes his independence from political organisations will allow him to better serve the community. And the EPA has advised no new reports over the weekend of potential asbestos contamination in mulch in public parks and reserves. On Saturday, it reported that PA Burns Reserve in Hobsons Bay would likely reopen on Monday the 22nd of April and that the likely source of the contamination there was determined to be legacy in situ contamination, which has now been removed. Briefly in other Victorian news, local government was well represented at last week's announcement of the IPA Victoria Top 50 Public Sector Women Awards. Established women leaders recognised include Marybeck Council CEO Cathy Henderson, Debbie Wood from Whittlesea, Lindley Dumble from Brimbank, Rosa Zazoulis of Glenira and Fiona Shanks from Hume. Jess Hurst from Greater Geelong and Justine Cook and Melissa Falkenberg of Wyndham were recognised in the Emerging Leaders category. A book called International Connections, written by Andrew Rothall, explores the history of Latrobe City Council's sister city relationships with Takasago in Japan and Taizhou in China. Celebrating the 20-year anniversary of the agreements, the book provides insights into the cultural exchanges, educational programs, trade arrangements and business projects that have emerged from the partnerships. And the 109th anniversary of the Anzac troops landing at Gallipoli will be commemorated with a free projection art program at Geelong City Hall from Anzac Day through April 28. The program will display historical images, paintings and monuments to honour Australian soldiers and also highlight the contributions of First Nations soldiers and women during World War I. You're listening to the Local Government News Roundup, Australia's number one podcast for council-related news and interviews, available wherever you listen to podcasts, and brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association with support from Davidson. Now let's look at some stories from across Australia. The Sydney Morning Herald reports that the New South Wales Labor Party may have to disendorse over a dozen councillors and candidates before the upcoming local government elections due to their status as banned donors, potentially breaching state electoral laws. An email from the party's Assistant General Secretary, David Dobson, says that registered club directors and their spouses or de facto partners would be barred from nomination for council positions if a proposed motion passes at the party's state conference in July. It follows a change by the Minns government to the state's electoral laws, adding directors or close associates of registered clubs to the list of banned donors in the state because of perceived influence of clubs and poker machine revenue on major political parties. The revelation is said to have caught current councillors off guard, with as many as 20 potentially affected by the rule change. A dispute between local councils and the New South Wales government over funding for water pollution testing may leave visitors to Sydney beaches uninformed about swimming safety, according to the Sydney Morning Herald. The Beach Watch program, which has monitored water quality since 1989, may be abandoned due to the government's push for councils to contribute to the costs of water testing. The move has sparked criticism from local mayors, including Southern Shire, Northern Beaches and Randwick, who argue that the program should remain state funded. The New South Wales government has initiated a multi-agency investigation into the National Parks and Wildlife Brumby Rehoming Program following the discovery of hundreds of dead horses on a property in southern New South Wales. The discovery was made by officers from Wagga Wagga City Council, who estimated the number of carcasses at around 500, according to a report from ABC News. The investigation will scrutinise the restrictions on licensed rehomers and their ability to euthanise horses. The owner of the property disputes the number of horse carcasses found and maintains that all the horses he slaughtered were unrehomable and used to feed his dogs. The New South Wales Food Authority is also investigating potential offences under the Food Act. Several Sydney councils are resisting state government calls to return to issuing paper parking tickets, according to the Sydney Morning Herald. The ticketless system, which sends fines via mail, has been criticised for its lack of transparency and delays in notifying motorists of fines. Councils, including Liverpool and North Sydney, have cited safety concerns for parking rangers as a reason for not reverting to paper tickets. Finance Minister Courtney Houssos has called for councils to address the system's shortcomings by providing physical notifications. In Tasmania, a former Central Highlands Council employee has been sentenced to 18 months of home detention for defrauding the council of over $100,000 between 2012 and 2020. Pulse Tasmania reported that Casey Marie Bryant used the council's money to buy personal items and has been ordered to repay all the money and complete 210 hours of community service. Her husband also pleaded guilty to fraud and received a suspended 6-month prison system. Noosa Shire in Queensland is considering a congestion tax for tourists to alleviate traffic gridlock during peak times. The proposal, as reported by ABC News, would not apply to local residents and aims to encourage the use of public transport and active transport methods. The tax could potentially cover the costs of sustainable transport options, such as free bus services, currently funded by a $30 annual levy on residents. The idea was unpopular when previously considered in 2017, but Deputy Mayor Brian Stockwell believes there is now majority support amongst councillors for such a change. A couple of stories out of South Australia now, and the future of one of that state's most visited jetties, the 148-year-old Kingston Jetty, is uncertain despite a $2.87 million state government offer for repairs. The Adelaide Advertiser reports that Kingston District Council must decide whether to accept the offer, which requires the council to match the funding and extend its lease agreement for another 15 years. Without repairs, the jetty could close within 4 to 5 years. The council argues that the cost of structural repairs should not fall on them, as they are the tenant, not the landlord. The jetty sees between 43,000 and 85,000 visitors annually, contributing significantly to the local economy. Adelaide City Council is planning to increase charges for short-term accommodation owners, such as Airbnb and stays, for the sake of fairness and equity. The Adelaide Advertiser reports that the proposed changes in the 2024-25 budget will categorise properties predominantly used for short-stay rentals as commercial other, leading to a 22% increase in rates. The council argues that this is fair to other operators and that the extra costs will support city maintenance and services. The draft budget was discussed at a committee meeting and will be released for public consultation. And the Western Australian government is introducing new regulations to clarify and ensure long service leave entitlements for approximately 23,000 local government workers. The regulations, effective from the 1st of September, include provisions for a longer permitted break between local government employers, counting parental leave pay towards long service leave accrual, allowing advanced long service leave and cashing out, and clear protections in the case of unfair or unlawful dismissal. The changes are expected to benefit part-time, casual and transitioning employees. In other news, Townsville City Council is advertising for an interim CEO following the resignation of Dr. Prinz Ralston last week. Applications for the 3 to 6 month assignment are being taken by Peak Services until this Wednesday night. Logan City Council is hosting an online photo competition as part of the 2024 City Nature Challenge. Residents are encouraged to upload photos of local flora and fauna to create a snapshot of biodiversity. And the Townsville region has achieved Eco Destination certification at the nature tourism level, making it the third destination in Queensland and the ninth in Australia to earn this recognition. The certification, funded by the Queensland Government's Eco Certified Tourism Destination Program, underscores Townsville's commitment to sustainable ecotourism. 8 local businesses are certified through Eco Tourism Australia's programs, and the region is dedicated to enhancing sustainability in tourism. This is the Local Government News Roundup. It's episode number 326, and it's time for the International Spotlight. Starting in the UK, where a dispute has arisen between Medway Council and a government minister over the estimated costs for road repairs, including the repair of around 2,000 potholes, which the council estimates at £50 million. BBC News reports that Roads Minister Guy Opperman has criticised the council for allegedly budgeting £25,000 per pothole. The council has clarified that the figure it referred to is for overall road conditions, not just potholes. The Department of Transport has allocated £3.5 million to the council for its road network in 2024-25. Essex County Council has been criticised for woeful oversight of payments made to internet prankster Simon Harris for social media services during the COVID-19 pandemic. An internal report found no evidence of competitive procurement in the process that saw Harris and others receive thousands of pounds. The council has been unable to find any evidence of value for money, and councillors have criticised the lack of governance and accountability. Harris, who was paid about £500,000 to help distribute the council's COVID-19 information on social media, has been open about the arrangement and is believed to have acted in good faith. In New Zealand, the interim CEO of Gore District Council, Stephen Parry, who remained in the role after resigning last year, has confirmed his intention to step down next month. His successor, Deborah Lascelles, will take up the role on the 3rd of June following a vigorous recruitment process. The council is prepared to manage the 3-week gap between Mr. Parry's departure and the arrival of Ms. Lascelles. In the US, Los Angeles City Council is advancing a pay-to-foster program for pets to alleviate overcrowding in animal shelters. The council will evaluate existing foster programs and consider models from other cities to establish a monetary stipend for fostering animals. CBS News reported that the initiative follows a temporary moratorium on dog breeding permits to address overpopulation in city-run shelters. And Chicago City Council has approved an additional $70 million for migrant services after contentious debate, according to CBS News. This is in addition to $150 million already budgeted for 2024. The funds will be used to house, feed, and provide other services to thousands of asylum seekers. The council also approved the use of $48 million in grant money from state and federal governments to pay outstanding staffing and shelter costs. Despite the additional funding, concerns remain about the city's ability to manage the migrant crisis and the strain it's placing on other city services. In Italy, Lake Como, a popular tourist destination, is considering implementing a daily visitor fee to manage over-tourism. The city's mayor, Alessandro Rapanese, is considering a Venice-style charge which would apply to day visitors and possibly only on busy days. The exact details of the fee are yet to be determined. The decision comes as the city is struggling with the impact of increasing tourist numbers, which have led to overcrowding and disruption. And finally, a story worth checking out from India. In an effort to manage plastic waste and provide meals for those in need, the Municipal Corporation of Delhi has initiated the concept of garbage cafes. Individuals who bring in 1 kilogram of plastic waste to the designated cafes receive a voucher for a free meal at participating restaurants. The initiative, which commenced in 2020, has not only encouraged waste collection and recycling, but has also been life-changing for many, providing them with a sustainable way to secure meals for their families. Find out more from the website Reasons to be Cheerful. We've reached the finish line for another edition of the Local Government News Roundup. This episode, number 326, recorded on Monday the 22nd of April and brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association with support from Davidson. You can find the links to the stories referenced in today's episode along with a full transcript at lgnewsroundup.com. While you're there, check out the latest breaking news updates and learn how you can support the Roundup by becoming a subscriber through a small monthly contribution, which you can cancel at any time. The Local Government News Roundup is recorded in the city of Greater Geelong, Victoria, on the land of the Wadawurrung people of the Kulin Nation. I'll be back with more local government news very soon. Until next time, thanks for listening and bye for now. The Local Government News Roundup is proudly supported by Davidson. For 30 years, Davidson has been strengthening the local government sector by identifying and providing the people, expertise and experience that local government needs to enhance its capability, productivity and performance. Davidson is nationally recognised for its executive recruitment services and over the past 4 years has built a business advisory practice rapidly evolving into one of the nation's foremost and trusted local government business consultancy firms. The Davidson methodology and approach is simple. Thinking beyond now and aiming to be a valued partner with your local government, not just for the immediate project, but for the next 30 years. Speak to Justin Hanney or Seamus Scanlon to find out more or head to davidsonwp.com.au. Davidson, your future, your partner.